We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have part two of our 53-man roster predictions. We're going to break down the defense and the guys we think is going to make the roster. All on episode 187 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down, Detroit Lions. T.J. Hockenson, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yep. All right, and we're back on part two of our 53-man roster predictions. Enjoy.
Let's transition to the defense now. We're going to start off with outside linebackers. Pierre, who do you got here?
So, like, the edge guys, right?
Yeah, like Trey Flowers.
So, I have four guys making it right now. Trey Flowers, Romeo Okwara, Julian Okwara, and Charles Harris. Originally, I had Harris on my list. I want to change it to Austin Bryant because Dan Campbell said he likes Austin Bryant a lot. But I'm not going to. I don't want to cheat. So I'll just keep it with Harris right now. First three are obvious. I think Charles Harris and Austin Bryant is a real competition. We're going to see on Friday what happens with that. And maybe both make it, too. I wouldn't be surprised.
They've been battling in these first two preseason games. I thought they both had their moments and both the games have shown. But you mentioned it. Campbell's given extra praise to Austin Bryant. And Austin Bryant is the younger player, so maybe potentially they look at Austin Bryant as more of a building piece because they would have more contract flexibility with Bryant right now rather than Harris, because Harris on a one-year deal with Bryant, drafted in 2019, he's still got 2 years left on his contract. So maybe that's in play right now. We don't know. So you got Charles Harris right now, but I like your honesty saying that if you could go back, you maybe go Bryant. But I like that you stuck to your guts. You stuck with Harris. So
yeah.
All right. Malcolm, who do you got here?
All right, so I have four edge rushers or outside linebackers. I have Trey Flowers, Romeo Okwara, Julian Okwara, and Austin Bryant. Those are my, I think, just like you said, I think the Harris and Bryant battle is going to be big this preseason game that's coming up. So we'll see what happens. But so far, man, I think Austin Bryant, especially in the run game, you go back in the last two games, in the running game, he's been very solid. Coming off the edge and setting the edge. So he's a guy who I have making the roster early right now.
And I think that's important with this team right now because Flowers, obviously, we know what he could do on the edge. He's a good run, you know, good in the run game, the edge spot. But, you know, guys like Romeo, I think that's how he could elevate his game, you know, improve his edge, improve in the run game at the edge position. I think Julian especially as well because he struggled so far in these first two games. Or, I don't know, he didn't really play the second game too much, but that first game, he wasn't great at containing the edge as far in the run game. So that's something he could improve on. But I like that you mentioned that with Austin Bryant because he's been good in that department so far. So I think, you know, on certain packages where maybe you're expecting more of a run, you can lean on more of an Austin Bryant rather than a Julian Okwara. I think Romeo will be out there, but, you know, I think you could maybe depending on certain downs and down and distance, you might lean towards an Austin Bryant or a Julian Aquara. I think they would be a good one-two punch, honestly, and, you know, depending on the package and obviously what, you know, part of the game it is right now. So I got Flowers, I got Romeo, I got Julian, I got Austin Bryant. I put Charles Harris right now just because I was struggling to fill out this roster, honestly. I don't think both make this team at the end of the day when we get into week one versus the Niners. I think it's going to come down to Bryant or Harris. If I had to choose, I would choose Austin Bryant. Charles Harris was honestly just a last-second fill because I needed another guy. I just needed another guy. I put Charles Harris there, but Austin Bryant's a guy I'm giving more of the edge to just because, like what Malcolm said, he's been good in the run game, containing the edge. So I agree with that. So I got four edge. I got five technically, but I think it's going to be four going into week one. So I got five on this list. So, all right, let's go into defensive ends / defensive tackles, whatever you want to call them. Pierre, who do you got here?
So on the D-line, I got Michael Brackers, Aleem McNeil, Deshaun Hand, Levi on Wizuruki, Bruce Hector, and Kevin Strong. I want to say a couple things. Deshaun Hand is injured right now. If they place him on IR, he'll be out for the year. But if he makes the initial roster, then they could place him on IR. He could come back after 3 weeks. That's how the rules are. So I think that's what's going to happen with Hand. They'll have an open spot. The reason why I don't have Nick Williams on is because we just haven't seen that much of him this year. And they restructured his contract. He took a pay cut. So I went young because the Lions are looking more towards the long term versus now. Bruce Hector and Kevin Strong both have a really good camp, both been consistent, and both have played great in preseason games as well.
Yeah. No, I like that you brought up the Nick Williams and Bruce Hector thing because a lot of people are probably like, oh, who's Bruce Hector? Like, who is that guy? But you mentioned that this is a rebuild and it's going to be a process. Nick Williams down the line doesn't really do much for you. He's going to be a one-year deal and then probably out the doors because then you're getting,
right.
You know, he's getting close to 30s now, where Bruce Hector, not saying this is a long-term piece by any means, but the potential to have more of a long-term piece and more flexibility is obviously with Hector over Nick Williams. That's just
for sure. I forgot to bring up something. Jayshon Cornell is on the suspended list, so he's going to be out for the first 3 weeks, I believe, or 2 weeks. I forgot what it was. 3 weeks. 3 weeks, thank you. And then also, John Pennicini, we haven't really seen him this year. I haven't seen him, so I didn't put him on here. If he balls out on Friday, maybe you could take out Hector and put Pennicini in.
Okay. Malcolm, what interior defensive lineman you got here?
All right, so interior defensive line, I have Michael Brockers, Aleem McNeil, Levi Onwuzurike, Kevin Strong, John Pennicini, and Deshaun Hand making the roster. I also don't have Nick Williams on my 53. And just like Pierre said, much of him. And I don't think we're going to see much of him. I'm not sure if he's going to play tomorrow, to be honest with you. So he's a name to look out. If he does play and balls out, maybe he gets a roster spot. But he was a guy that, I mean, early in camp, he was a starter. He was a starter on the defensive line. So I thought maybe he was going to show something with this new scheme, but apparently with the injuries and COVID and everything that's been going on, he hasn't been on the field. So I unfortunately have him out.
Now, I was just thinking about, do you guys remember what the Lions did with Logan, the tight end? They released him, they bring him back.
Logan Thomas.
Was it Logan Thomas?
Yeah.
So I can maybe see that with like Nick Williams. So they release him, they put Deshaun Hand on IR, and then they bring Williams back on.
That's possible.
That's very possible.
Because his contract is not that big of a hit if you release him.
Yeah, because people were panicking, I remember, at that time when they released Logan Thomas, but came out like very shortly that they're going to resign him right away. And that Logan was going to come back, obviously. He could have technically went anywhere else, but I think they had the connection that, you know, a mutual connection that's saying, I'll come back. Just release me, come back, you know, whatever, right?
That happens with vets because, like, when you place a guy on IR versus now, they'll be out for the year because you can't, they don't want teams to play the IR, basically.
I just saw that.
Because you could just place him on IR and then bring him back in 3 weeks, basically. So once he's on the roster, you can place him on IR and then you bring a guy in.
Yeah, I saw that the Packers, they placed Funchess on IR yesterday. So he's out for the year now. Yeah, he's out for the year. Man, that's a tough blow for Deshaun Hand, man. This guy just. He looked like he had a different demeanor this year too, man. New system. He looked ready. Contract year. Tough year, man. Just a tough break, and it looks like he's going to start off on IR, which stinks. All right. But interior defensive line, I got Brockers, Onwuzurike. I got Kevin Strong, and I got Deshaun Hand, Aleem McNeil. I put John Pennicini here, but he's another one of those guys where I think he could miss out on this roster. I didn't put Nick Williams as well, so that was kind of surprising. All three of us didn't have Williams. But I think with Pennicini, he's going to need to ball out, man, because I'm going to bring up the name one more time. And this guy is a guy that you guys are all going to watch on Friday. Number 61, Miles Brown. And you know what I call him? He's a big fucker, and he disrupts the run game. He's impressed me, honestly, these first two games. I've liked what Miles Brown has done. I want to see what he could do in this third preseason game, because if Pennicini is not on that field or he doesn't look good on that field, and Miles Brown has another sneaky good game, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. Miles Brown could maybe sneak in as the backup nose tackle, because right now we got McNeil. But after that, you don't really got much nose tackle. You got guys like Brockers could play there. Other than that, you don't really have much, because Onzerike is not going to play nose tackle. You're not going to play Kevin Strong at nose tackle. You're not going to play Deshaun Hand at nose tackle. So you got McNeil. You got Brockers. And you're probably going to carry another guy. If Pennicini is not good, I put Pennicini just because we know what Pennicini is. We've seen what he could do in the league, and he had a good rookie season. And Miles Brown's a long shot to make this team because he wears number 61. But if Miles Brown gives me one more good game and Pennicini's not out there, I'm putting Miles Brown in my you know, when we do this episode again, I'm putting Miles Brown on this list.
Don't forget about Bruce Hector, too.
That's fair. Bruce Hector's been good.
Yeah. I see Miles Brown right now as a practice squad guy because he's been so good, but like I feel like the other guys have been better. Like Hector and Strong have been better, but we'll see. You never know.
The thing with Hector, I just think he's more of a tough position because I think the position he's playing, there's a lot more guys there now. But you mentioned Deshaun Hand could be out, so maybe Bruce Hector could step into that position for the time being, or they go the veteran route with a Nick Williams. So it's going to be interesting because they are probably going to need a more of like a three tech-ish defensive end, defensive tackle, defensive end is with Hand being out because, you know, you got Onzerike, you got Strong, and you got Brockers could play both. But then after that, you know, maybe you go a Hector or Williams or you go someone from the waiver wire. But I think they got guys within their organization they're going to choose from with this final decision. But I want to see Miles Brown. I'm excited for tomorrow because Miles Brown is my new favorite Lions player in this whole nine roster.
Can I just bring up something? Like, when is the last time the Lions have this much young talent on the D-line? Normally, it's like D-line. Older free agents.
Yeah.
Like, Brad Holmes just went out, drafted Onzerike, drafted McNeil.
Brings in Brockers.
Kevin Strong looks good this year, right? Brings in Brockers. Like, it's the Lions D-line, I feel like, is the most underrated part of the team right now.
Yeah.
I really do.
And then obviously, you know, Deshaun Hand was looking good before the injury too. So that was a guy that we were looking out for.
Even Deshaun Cornell, seventh round pick from last year, has looked really good.
I think that's a guy too. So, you know, I could see the route that you were saying. They bring a Hector or Williams, and then maybe when Cornell could be activated, maybe then that's when they release a Hector or Williams and then activate Cornell if he looks good in this last game. And then in the practices, because he can still practice with the team even when he's on suspended list. He just can't be in the games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's been really good. He's been really good.
They've been starting him with like the first team, so I think he's gonna make it. Like they're initially obviously gonna be a spinless, but the Lions like him. He's been starting. When Williams was out, he was starting.
Yeah.
Oh, and Onzerike was out too, but yeah.
Yeah, you see him making many plays out there, man. He's been good.
Yep.
You guys are excited to watch Miles Brown too though, right?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yes. I love that guy. It's just a football player.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's get into the linebackers. We got linebackers, corners, safeties, and special teams. Let's start off with the linebackers right now, which I think is maybe the worst depth on this team. Peter, what do you got here? How many linebackers you got, and who are they?
I got four, and honestly, I think this could change a lot. I got only three locks right now, basically Collins, Anzalone, and Derek Barnes. Jalen Reeves-Maven is on here for his special teams, not for his linebackers. He's probably a lock too. I think the Lions, like, if there is a guy who becomes available on the waivers, they like him. I think they could claim him, because if one of those three goes down, excuse my language, but you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't have much there. And Jelani Tavai, I mean, Dan Campbell tried to give him a chance. He, like, praised him. He's like, we like this guy, whatever. He lost weight, all that stuff. Dude comes in preseason games, looks like he's lost. I don't even think Tavai is worth a practice spot on this team. I really don't. One player that could low-key maybe sneak in is Tavante Beckett.
We're talking about before the show, yeah.
He's more out than in, though, because it seems like Campbell wants him on the practice squad. So we'll see, though.
Yeah, I was considering Tavante Beckett with his last linebacker spot, but I think you mentioned, I think I look at more of him as like an outside linebacker to play the edge more than, you know, the inside linebacker position with these guys. So,
Anthony Pittman as well. He's another guy who's on the bubble.
We'll get into that. But Malcolm, who are your linebackers you got?
All right, so I have four linebackers. I have Jamie Collins, Alex Anzalone, and I have Derek Barnes, who is my favorite, by far my favorite preseason player. It's been Derek Barnes.
More than TK?
More than TK.
Okay.
More than TK. This guy... I'm not sure if it's just me, but he's showing me DeAndre Levy vibes. He's giving me Levy vibes.
Dude. Early. Dude. I actually said that to one of my friends the other day. I said, dude, he does everything. He does everything. He's good. He's solid in coverage. He goes silent. He gets good tackles. He can rush the passer. I see it. I see it. I don't know if he's Levy there yet, but I think his potential. Yeah. I think he could be that DeAndre Levy in this defense, dude. He reminds me of an old Lions linebacker.
Yeah. What came out to me the most with Derek Barnes is his instincts. And it was the preseason game when they kept doing that misdirection play that caught Tavai like twice. And then they tried to do a Derek Barnes, and he instantly ran to the running back and made the play. And I was like, you know what? He had great instincts. So Derek Barnes is one of my favorite players in the preseason. I might buy a jersey. That's how hyped I am with Derek Barnes. But my fourth linebacker is going to be Jalen Reeves-Maven. And I think he makes a team because of his special teams. But I think they trust him in the linebacker's role as well, even though he didn't look good in the last preseason game. What Dan Campbell was saying is that, look, he was playing special teams and he was playing linebacker. So maybe that was the reason why he didn't perform as well. But I think they trust Jalen Reeves-Maven. So I have him being the fourth linebacker on the team.
Yeah. Okay. I got the same four as well, but I added Anthony Pittman as well. I added Pittman just because I think just what we've seen so far, I feel like Pittman's a better defensive option than Jalen Reeves-Maven. I really do. I just didn't think Jalen Reeves-Maven looked like a defensive player on Saturday, last Saturday versus Steelers. And that hurt me to say, because I was high on him. I thought he could have a role in this defense, but he didn't look good. And I'm not going to go as far and use the same words as Pierre, because I'll keep it a little more PG, but I think we're screwed as well if one of these three go down. I think if Collins or Anzalone or Barnes goes down, you know, I think once you get into that, I think you're really testing them. I think you're testing your depth on this team at the linebacker position, because I don't think Maven's a starter. Pittman, I think, gives you a better defensive option, but even him, like, how much have we seen from him to, you know, on defense? We've only really seen him versus, you know, practice squad and third string players. Like, I want to see more from an Anthony Pittman, but it kind of came from default because we didn't really have any other options. Jelani Tavai didn't do the job for me. Sean Dion Hamilton, you know, he's going to probably start, you know, the year on pup. or maybe he makes initial 53 and he goes on IR. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but he was good, I think, in the early process before pads came on. But, you know, how is he going to make the team just from what we've seen before pads? I don't think so. Like, this is a position where the Lions need to go out and get a guy who could play defense, who's been playing in the defense in the NFL before. Just a solid backup option. I'm not saying it has to be a good option, because you're not going to get really many good players, because, you know, the guys that get waived. But they need to bring in someone who has experience in starting in an NFL defense, because if one of these guys goes down, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'm not going to use the F word. I'm just going to say screwed.
I'm going to say this. If one goes down, I think they may be even better. They're only playing two linebackers. They're playing it out of the 3-4. They're only playing – the only two linebackers are starting. If Jamie Collins or Alex Anzalone gets hurt, you enter in Derek Barnes. I think Derek Barnes is going to make that team better. I think Derek Barnes should be the starter. That's just putting out that he should be the starter. But if he's not the starter, he's a backup, because they're saying maybe he needs to learn more. If Jamie Collins or Alex Anzalone get hurt, you throw in Derek Barnes. Now he's in the starting lineup, and now that offense, that defense is probably going to be better. Yeah. So I think what you're looking at is if two linebackers get hurt, we might be screwed.
That's kind of what I meant.
If two linebackers are hurt, we might be screwed. One linebacker, I think you enter Derek Barnes, you're better. That defense is going to be better.
That's fair. Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, if I meant if one, if two of Jamie, Anzalone, and Barnes go down, that's when it gets into deep.
If water. All three of them get, if all three of them go down, then
I mean, all even, three go down. That's really bad.
Like, even if one of them goes down, though, then you have to like bring up another guy, right? Because you'll probably on special teams. Let's say Jalen Reeves-Bavin starts plays on special teams, he'll be tired. Yeah. So it's tricky too. Like I really think you're screwed if one goes down.
Because, no, you could
play, there's no depth.
If they have a linebacker in the practice squad to play special teams, it's fine. But your starting unit is still going to be straight.
Are you going to play them a whole game, though? Are you going to give 100% of the snaps?
Well, Derek Barnes?
Barnes and Collins, if, let's say, Anzalone goes down or vice versa.
They're only playing two linebackers.
That's what I'm saying, but are you going to give 100% of the snaps?
Why not?
I mean, you got to rotate. I feel like you got to rotate every here and there, you know, just on certain packages. But they're going to play majority on the defense
now. He could play. He's a sideline linebacker. What do you mean? He could play.
I'll say this with Derek Barnes. I wouldn't be shocked if, like, midseason he has the green dot on.
He has that potential. I'm telling you. Once he's in that defense, our defense is going to be better. I guarantee you 100% is going to be better.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
I still think, like, the Lions don't think he's ready yet. We obviously have heard that from Campbell, and we've heard that. He's only played 33 snaps in preseason as well. So we only have, like, and he was playing against, like bad players, like third-teamers, right? So I want to see this week if he'll, like, play with the first team, basically against second-teamers. I want to see how we'll look versus those guys.
Me too.
But I've been really impressed with Barnes. I think he's going to be a really good linebacker, but the Lions don't think he's ready, and that's fine. They don't need to rush him. He's a rookie.
Yeah, I mean,
at least give him some packages. And Glenn did say, if you play good, you're going to get some packages. So I think Barnes will get his packages.
So we'll see. All right, let's go into the cornerback position. Let's start off with you, Peter. How many corners you got making this team, and who are they?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6 corners. Jeff Okuda, Amani Awarie, AJ Parker, Mike Ford, Nicole Roby Coleman, and Ifeatu Melifanu. AJ Parker basically took the job from Mike Ford, like the nickel job. And then also Mike Ford has been falling down the depth chart, and he's actually been struggling in camp the past few days. I read that with observations. And when Okuda didn't practice the other day, it wasn't Mike Ford taking CB1 reps, it was Melifanu. So I think Mike Ford, he's great on special teams, but if they could find an upgrade, another guy who's good on special teams, I think his status could also be in doubt. I think he's on the bubble, but he's in. But I wouldn't be shocked if he's waived, if they could, like, get a better guy or something.
That's a crazy transition, because early in the preseason, you know, he was a starting nickel. We looked at him as our number one backup outside corner spot. Like, we looked at him as a super versatile guy. And, yeah, I mean, it just shows the NFL, man. You got day by day, it could change real quick for you.
Shout out to AJ Parker, undrafted kid, probably the starting nickel week one.
That's insane. All right, Malcolm, who do you got making this cornerback roster?
All right, so I have 6 corners making the initial 53. I have Jeff Okuda.
Oh, wow.
I was debating. I was like, should I do it? Okay. I was debating.
Right.
So I have Jeff Okuda. I have Emmanuel Warrior, Mike Ford, Malafonu, AJ Parker, and I have Nicole Roby Coleman making the team.
Okay. So is it the same thing? You look at AJ Parker starting nickel, and who do you look as the first backup outside corner if one of AO or Jeff Okuda goes down?
That's right now.
I still think it's Mike Ford.
I still think it's Mike Ford.
And Mike Ford is a guy who I'm going to say is going to be in a situation that he's been in the past, that he's going to show up big in this fourth preseason game. And I think third preseason game.
Usually.
The final preseason game. I think he's gonna have a big game this game because he knows when it's crunch time and he knows when to show out. So I think he's gonna have a big, which is gonna like solidify his role, his spot on the team. But I think he's still gonna be that third corner as far as like if somebody goes down, he's gonna be the next guy in.
Nickel or outside, right?
Yeah, nickel or outside.
Or you're putting Colby Coleman in the nickel if one of them goes down.
No.
You know what I was thinking about? If, like, Dunbar gets his personal issues, whatever.
I'm just thinking that right now.
If he gets whatever he's dealing with resolved, I hope, like, whatever he's dealing with, he's okay. If he gets those issues resolved, I could see Detroit bringing him back.
That would be cool.
I was thinking that as well because if they don't trust Ford to be the next guy up at the outside cornerback spot, I think we're all in agreement. I don't think Melifonu should really have much of a role in this first half of the season, I believe, at least. At least I think that. I think if they're not confident in Ford, they could go a veteran now and a guy that they've had in camp this year, and that's Quinn Dunbar. That's obviously everything's resolved with the situation now, and he's ready to play football again. We'll see. I don't know what the situation's going on with him. But I got the same corners as well. I don't have Nicole Roby Coleman making this team. I just haven't really seen much out of him, honestly. And I think limiting him just to a nickel corner, I've seen more in a Bobby Price than a Nicole Roby Coleman, even with the big play he gave up that first game. And I'm not necessarily really high on Bobby Price. I just think he gives you more of an option. He gives you a safety option. He gives you a nickel corner option. He gives you an outside corner option. And he's younger as well, where Nicole Roby Coleman was just signed yesterday, basically. Like, he was just signed a couple weeks ago. So I chose Bobby Price over Nicole Roby Coleman, but I think he'll be one of those guys that we see on game days. If he makes it through all the waivers and all the transitions, I think he'll be one of those guys that is just a healthy scratch. But if a guy were to go down, I think you can insert a Bobby Price on game day. But overall, I got Okuda, AO on the outside, AJ Parker in the nickel. I still think Mike Ford, as of right now, what we got in this organization, I think he would be the number one option if someone were to go down in the nickel or someone were to go down on the outside. I just don't know what Melifonu is going to do much for you right now. I just feel like it'd be a bit rushing his process right now, because I think when we drafted him, we knew it was going to be a process. We knew what the traits he offers, and he has the potential to be a really good corner down the line. I don't think we should rush that right now I don't think we should mess up his confidence, I guess you could say, as well. Like, I feel like that's a guy you should just let him sit back, let him get the game going, and then, let it transition as slowly. I wouldn't force him into a situation right now, unless it was like must, we need him right now. But I wouldn't force him into a situation right now. I still think it's Ford.
Speaking of Bobby Price, bro, he was the guy I was trying to find a spot on this team. I just didn't know who to release on my prediction. Like, I was trying to, he's like, he barely made the cut for me.
Yeah, I'm just not a big Nicole Roby Coleman fan, honestly. He just hasn't really shown me much so far. I know he's a veteran, and they don't really got much of vets in the secondary right now. Right. But I don't know, man. I just went with the best player and the highest upside. And obviously, I think Price's upside, we could all agree, it's higher than Nicole Roby Coleman. Yes. Like, not even a doubt. So I went with Bobby Price, just because of versatility as well. Because he was originally a safety, but he could play corner as well now. So
special right. teams, too. He's special actually teams. Really good on special teams. Yeah,
he's fast, yeah. So
yeah.
All right, let's go into safeties, special teams. That's a wrap. All right, start off with you, Peter. Who are the safeties you got?
I got four in, but I want to bring up something interesting once I'm done. Tracy Walker, Will Harris, Dean Marlowe, and CJ Moore. So there's this safety that potentially could be on the block. His name is Taylor Rapp, Brad Holmes.
Second round pick
from the Rams. The Rams.
Yeah, Washington,
back
right?
In 2019. Yeah, back in 2019, I believe. He doesn't really fit the defense they're running in now. I read it from the Wire had like a thing where they had like 32 teams, potential trade guys they could trade. he was like on the Rams list, and that actually caught my eye because the Lions need a safety. Brad Holmes knows him. Agnew knows him. Aubrey Pleasant knows him. There's a lot of connections. If the price isn't high, why not trade for Taylor Rapp? He's still young. He has 2 years left on his rookie deal. Because I don't really see it with Will Harris, and I think like Will Harris is bad. I think Marlowe will take that spot from him in the year.
I think if I remember this correctly, I remember Taylor Rapp's like is a bigger safety, right? So he could play box.
He's
so
more of a hybrid safety linebacker.
Hybrid.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So I remember him in the process a little bit. I don't really remember what he offers, but I remember he's a second round pick from Washington.
Yep. He's talented. Yeah, he's talented. He has some talent.
That'd be interesting. All right, Malcolm, who do you got here at the safety position?
All right, so I have four safeties. The obvious, I have Tracy Walker, Will Harris, Dean Marlowe, and CJ Moore.
Same, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got the same four as well. I think CJ Moore, I have him ahead of the depth chart in front of Marlowe. I think CJ Moore is just a guy they trust a lot. He led the team huddle the other day versus Steelers when Decker was out. I think he might be a captain low-key, too, because we mentioned this is a very young secondary right now. I wouldn't be shocked if he's a captain because he's really good on special teams, and I think he could maybe potentially have a role at the safety position at some point during the season. So I put CJ Moore ahead of Marlowe in the depth chart, but I got the same four guys. And this hurts, man. Talk about special teams now, and this is just so different now. It's not the same.
Tyler can't say what he wants to say anymore.
Just take a wipe here. Who do you got?
Guys, if you guys can't see, Tyler has a napkin in his hand and he's wiping his tears from his eye.
What do you got?
No, I'm kidding. I got Jack Fox, the greatest punter in the NFL right now. I don't care what anyone says, the best.
I like Jack Fox.
The best punter in the NFL, and has potential to be the greatest punter of all time.
Oh, okay.
long snapper is Sky Daly and
kicker. Stop. Okay, stop.
Hold on, I just wanted to bring up one more thing, though. The Ravens have this kicker that they're shopping. He's actually really talented. Justin Tucker said he could see him starting for a team in week one and kicking kicks. Forgot the kicker's name. But that kicker, if he's on waivers, if they can't find a trade partner, he's a name to watch. He's a guy to watch. The Ravens backup kicker. You know, Ravens are good with specialists, too.
Who do you got making right now? The Bullock?
Yeah, Bullock, yeah. Tyler, I'm sorry, bro. If you need some more napkins, I could drop some off to you. I'm not that far from you.
See, like, you started off fine. I like Jack Fox. Jack Fox is a good guy. I came on the pod because I like Jack Fox. But Malcolm, who do you got making it from special teams?
All right. So I don't think there's much.
Malcolm, let's need some napkins. Some tissues, some Kleenex or something.
Oh, shit. Time to pull it together, bro.
There you go, bro.
All right, so on special team, it's the same. I don't think there's gonna be any difference here. Punter, Jack Fox.
You could just stop there.
Okay, long snapper, Scott Daly, and the kicker, Randy Bullock. I mean,
who's the long snapper?
Scott Daly.
What if Scott Daly like is here for the next 20 years? We say that taxes and Daly.
Yeah, you might say it. Who knows?
Oh, you guys should have seen Tyler's reaction when I said that.
But Randy Bullock, man, I don't know what to say because I haven't seen nothing. I haven't seen him kick a damn kick more than the damn extra point.
He's not good. He's like good from the 30s and 40s, but once he reaches that 50-yard line, he's really inconsistent.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen it in preseason. He only kicked extra points.
In practice.
He only did it like twice.
In practice, he hasn't been good from the long distance.
My special team,
My special team is Jack Fox, Randy Bullock, and Scott Daly.
Wait, who's your long snapper?
Scott Daly.
Wait, who's your long snapper again?
Scott Daly.
All right, guys. So,
you'll be a Scott Daly fan. Watch. You're mad now, but watch Scott Daly, man. You'll see.
I usually don't get myself too attached to players like this. This hurts, man. Like,
what?
It's not even like just Scott Daly. Good luck to Scott Daly. I wish him all the luck, but man, I was talking so much shit when they signed him too. I'm like, oh, you might as well just pack your bags. You're not making a team. And what does he do? He kicks my guy off the curb.
Actually, Dan Campbell kicked your guy off the curb. But was it?
Now, so guys, the kicker I was talking about, his name is Jake Verity. And the Ravens have been good with developing kickers. Obviously, they have Justin Tucker. You guys remember Stephen Hauschka a few years ago, Graham Gano, Will Lutz. Those guys all came from the Ravens system. So he's a name to watch at kicker.
Yeah. So you don't think Randy Bullock survives? Like,
I'm saying because like obviously multiple teams need a kicker, and I don't know if the Lions are willing to trade assets for a kicker because they're not really like in win-now mode. But it's good to have a reliable kicker. This kid hit a 53-yarder in a preseason game. The kid I just talked about, Scott Verity.
I think I've cooled down a little bit, but I think kicker's a super important position. I would trade assets for it because if you think you got a kicker, you're gonna have this guy potentially if he's good. The next 15 years, like when now we're rebuilding, that's a position you just want locked down because that's a very important position in the NFL.
I agree, but then also, yes, remember the kicker from last year? He bounced around Kair Vedek or something like that. Like the Vikings traded a fifth round pick for him. You know, really, the kicker from the Ravens
was that from the? Was he the one from the Ravens too? I forgot. I remember.
Yeah. That kid didn't work out, but like the other guys have worked out. Justin Tucker, obviously, Will Lutz with the Saints. He's really young. He's been great for them. Stephen Hauschka was a good kicker. Graham Gano. So yeah.
Graham Gano, those are all the best kickers in the game right now.
Yeah. So those all came from the Ravens system. Like they identified those guys. So it'll be interesting to see what this kid, if this kid gets traded, if they can't find, they have to release him because they have Tucker.
A former Lions kicker actually got traded today, too, to the Panthers. It was Ryan Santoso from the Giants. He got traded today to the Panthers. And I think that's an interesting question. I'm not really going on too much with Santoso, but a guy who's kind of had a rough camp but was a good leg for the Panthers last year from deep, I thought, Joey Sly, he could be on the market too, potentially, or he could be released. So that's maybe another name the Lions could bring in, potentially.
So he's been really bad for Carolina.
Yeah, like this camp, yeah, this camp.
Yeah, really so bad. I don't know if I want to touch him. Maybe, like, just bring him along and, like, you know how you could, like, reshuffle guys on the practice squad?
Yeah.
So maybe, like, use one spot just for kickers, bring him in if they look bad, work someone out, bring someone else in. I don't know. But this Ravens kid, like, I think it's worth to explore a potential trade for this kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, rebuilding or not rebuilding, that's just the position you want locked down.
And like, he's a rookie. I think he's a rookie. He's undrafted, so.
So, I mean, Jack Fox was the same story, too, undrafted kid. We didn't get him his rookie. Well, we did get him his rookie season, but he was on the practice squad, and then they let Martin walk, and then Jack Fox comes in, competes with Aaron Tsipras in 2019.
Yeah.
Or 2020, sorry. And then Jack Fox wins the spot. And right now, he looks like a guy that we're going to keep around for the long run if everything goes right, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would sign him now to an extension. I don't know what the rules are, but just sign him now, get it over with Jack Fox. The thing is, though, with the kicker I mentioned, so Santoso went to the Panthers for a conditional 7th from the Jets.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would be the same price for this kid, Scott Verity. I feel like conditional 7th is worth it.
You don't think it'd be like last year what they got from their kicker, like a 5th-round pick or something like that?
No, because this year, like, Santoso went for a 7th, and he's had a good preseason and training camp. So I feel like this kid would be the same thing.
The thing with Santoso, too, man, he offers versatility to play both punter and kicker. I know he's going to be a kicker for the Panthers, but he does both for them.
He has a huge leg. Yeah. He has a huge leg. The thing is, he wasn't consistent.
It wasn't he was even inconsistent. He was competing with Prater and Sam Martin. It was like he just didn't have a chance.
No, but like his kicks were not accurate, though. I feel like
now as a kicker, I thought he was a good punter. I just didn't, I didn't think he was a great kicker. But now he's transitioned more to a kicker than a punter.
Yeah.
So. All right. I think that's a wrap, guys. I need to go. We've done enough. I'm glad we ended at least on.
You want me to drop off some Kleenex at your house? You're good.
Actually, hold up. I got napkins. I can't reach them, but. We got nothing. We're good.
Okay.
I was having a good day. I was having a good time during doing this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. I mean, I don't know. We'll be on Spotify. I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. Hope you guys all enjoyed the episode. We'll be back on Friday on Spotify talking about the pregame and postgame, Fun Lions Colts game, and then we'll make, I believe, one more final roster prediction, right, guys, before Tuesday. So we'll have one more episode.
Scott Daly's name one more time.
Yeah, we'll have one more episode on here, guys. Stay tuned for that. And then the deadline to be at 53 players is on Tuesday by 4 o'clock. So we'll have an episode after that as well. So stay tuned, busy week. Then after that, we'll cover the Niners and Lions.
Like, what if, though, Scott Daly's terrible on Friday night and Don Mulvaugh's back? Is that possible?
No, that's not really possible, Tyler. He's just gone. He's done. The man's 40. Let him go.
All right, guys. I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy, Malcolm, and I'm out, man. Peace.